Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title, it's a big book, love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show was called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hi, Nicole. Everybody's glad that you're back this week. And how is your soulmate Lisa feeling this week?
She is feeling a little bit better. She's still having a little bit of issues, but, you know, she's working through them, and luckily everything is okay. So, you know, it was a little bit scary, you know, last week because I don't know if I even told you what happened. Like, you know, she woke up in the middle of the night and just couldn't breathe,
you know.
So luckily I kept, you know, a very, very cool head, and, you know, we got the humidifier going. I had her sitting in front of that. You know, I put some sea salt in the water to kind of try to open her up a little bit, you know, which luckily calmed her down enough, you know, to where she was able to catch her breath a little bit, and she was able to, you know, sit for the rest of the night. But come the morning when her breathing was still too erratic, I was just like, you know, call into work, we got to take you to the doctor. And immediately the doctor sent us over to the hospital. So,
boy.
It was a very, very hectic day. But, you know, luckily she walked away with the necessary meds, and she was feeling a lot better that day. And she's working through the rest of it now. So it's all good.
Oh, good. And everybody did miss you.
Now, thank you, guys.
You know, everybody was
Cindy,
like, oh,
I've been getting Cindy signs today. Do you have anything going on?
With me?
Yeah.
Not anything out of the ordinary. Who knows, maybe, you know, my spirit guides maybe, or maybe my dead people are trying to say hello to me through you.
Yeah,
it's,
I don't
very
know.
Possible.
I've been getting Cindy signs today because I was doing some work, and there was, you know, obviously people know, especially if you're on Long Island, you know, that we've got a psychic TV show out here, and normally I don't watch that show, but for some reason it piqued my interest today. You know, so, you know, there's your first sign right there, you know, another psychic from Long Island. But in addition to that, you know, on the show, you know, one of the first readings that this woman did was a woman named Cindy. And then after that, her and a friend had gone to Tri-County, you know, flea market, and they had bought belly dancing skirts, and they were taking a belly dancing lesson. I've been getting Cindy signs over there. I'm like, first of all, I'm like, why am I watching this? I've never watched this. You know, I mean, and please, I'm not here to discredit, you know, the psychic that does do that TV, you know, that TV show, you know, I mean, by all means, it's just not one of the shows that I generally watch, you know. And then I just, like, as soon as I saw this, I was making the comparison between her, and I always call you, you know, my psychic, you know, because of course you're not here for everybody, you're mine. So, you know, I was making the comparisons, and then all of a sudden, boom, belly dancing popped in, and then, you know, something else happened, you know, where it was just like very, very Cindy-like. So I wanted to see if there was anything happening with you today.
No, but I think that's kind of funny because I guess most of the people listening probably don't know that I was a professional belly dancer for 35 years.
Yeah.
So consequently, the reference to that.
I did get a
couple of strange emails. You know, my mom passed away 2 years ago, and for some reason I get emails sent to Sylvia Sansone, who's my mother, from things, and I have no idea why, and I got three of them today, so I'm like, maybe my mom is just, you know, giving a message from the other side, you know?
Yeah, it could be.
Because, you know, it just seemed odd that, you know, these emails went from Walgreens, they want her to buy this, and somebody, I'm like, really, they're coming to me, huh?
Yeah.
So it was a little bit odd.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's exactly what it is.
you know, but that's so funny that you brought that up. But anyway, I know we have a lot of callers, but one of my clients, Ashante, a very beautiful girl, calls in once in a while. She's the 347 number, and she did drop the email earlier today if we would put her on air. So we got to go over to Ashante because she's
so
just a sweetheart. You'll remember her when you hear her.
347. You got it. Hello, Ashante, you're on the air?
Hi.
Hello, you were so cute. And
thank you for taking my call.
Oh, good. And this way you could get right through. So you must have something on your mind. I know you work hard and you're a girl who hasn't.
Hello?
What's in your life now?
I'm still the same issue, Cindy, and I just need to hear some good words and just something, some words of encouragement.
Okay. Are you still sort of back and forth with the same guy who has his commitment issues?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, almost the universe won't bring you somebody else until you let go of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes women like to hold on to one guy and think, okay, I'll get rid of him when somebody else comes.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, the universe, especially women who have had many, many lifetimes in which they've never been without men. They've always gone from the property of their fathers to the property of the husband to the property of another man. Get reluctant to bring you another man until you could stand on your own 2 feet a little bit by yourself. Are you getting strong enough to do that?
Well, let me just let you know, Cindy, it was getting, I mean, everything was so good. And then today I just had like a breakdown and said like, I can't do this anymore because I just felt like nothing good was going to come out of it. The thing that I wanted most, I got everything else except for the commitment. And that was just breaking me down. So I'm just wondering, like, is the new soulmate around or, like, just something good? Because it has me really depressed.
Well, of course, it's because, you know, you haven't seen some things that you needed to see. He could give you everything in the world, but if he's not willing to commit to you, that means he's not willing to heal his issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you work with him, correct?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard to break off with a man that you work with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, as soon as the universe brings you someone else, this man's going to know that you're moving on and could kind of sabotage the relationship.
Right.
So, you know, have you made it clear to him that you're kind of moving on at this point?
Yeah, I did it today.
Okay. And, you know, he says, yeah, sure.
Uh-huh.
And then somehow gets you back.
I hear you.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he somehow wheedles his way back into your life.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be really strong. Again, you know, you seem to love this guy, and the universe is kind of saying, well, you know, he's got to fear, you know, that he's going to lose you more than fear loving you. It doesn't look very promising from him. He'll just tell you what you want to hear, and he's going to do what he wants.
Right.
Again, I'm not seeing immediate guy here. Now, I always like to tell people there's love coming. And Nicole knows I'm usually telling people that. But in your cards, I'm seeing nothing's coming until you break off with him, do the necessary mourning for the end of the relationship. You allow yourself to feel sad that this didn't work. You allow yourself to mourn for it. You allow yourself to get angry at this man who loves you and can't commit to you. And once you do the necessary mourning and really detoxing from him, because right now he's an addiction. He's not good for you, and you go back for more. And
right. I feel like I'm addicted.
Okay, good. I'm glad. She's the most honest client. Don't you just love her? She's like the best. But you have to understand that toxic love becomes an addiction. It really, you know, and he's not the most trustworthy man. So when you're with a man who can cheat on you, and not with the best people in the world, by the way, there's always a chance he's going to bring you venereal disease. And, it, you know, I always, you know, like to give a little scare to my clients. You know, it could be HIV, it could be AIDS. I mean, being with a man who cheats on us could bring us a really bad disease, just like if you're hooked on heroin and you know it could kill you, but you go back for more.
Right.
So realize that you're not changing him, you're not fixing him, you're not going to fix his beast, you're not going to make him, you know, grow up if he doesn't want to, and you have to wean off of him.
Do you see that that's going to happen? I just want to know that I'm strong enough.
Oh, yes. This time it looks like, you know, He doesn't believe it by any means, because you've been in this dance for how many years now? Could you just like...
5.5 years.
Okay, now, Nicole's probably laughing because we know the relationships work in 5-year cycles, and the universe was already asking you at the 5-year mark to get him to, you know, sort of come forward or leave. Mm-hmm. And what
he did what you said what he was going to do is come back even harder.
Right.
At the 5-year mark.
Mm-hmm. Right, and tell you everything you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And now 6 months later, you're going, what the hell? It's the same nonsense.
Yep.
So the universe is asking you at this point to take 2 feet completely out, you know, other than, you know, work where you have to, like, sort of talk to him. Nothing
mm-hmm.
personal. If he asks you how you're doing, what you're doing, who you're doing with, it's pretty much none of his business.
Right.
And you're going to have to make it clear, you know, we have to work together. The universe is keeping him looking at you, feeling what he's going to miss. He's going to start feeling pretty crummy as he sees you're serious and that you're moving on. The universe wants to see what he's lost. You know, usually commitment phobics just run away and never look back. They're not going to let him do that. He's going to see what he's lost. But you being strong is very important, because otherwise I see nothing changing in your cards unless you make that big change. Again,
right.
Taking 2 feet out from him doesn't mean he doesn't seek some therapy and seek some help and want to come back to you. But again, the odds of him changing because of his ability to lie and manipulate
mm-hmm.
are much lower than they would be in just a commitment phobic who's just afraid of love but doesn't necessarily lie and cheat.
Right.
So, I mean, if this were my daughter, if you were my daughter, I would pretty much be pretty mad about this man and would really tell you to move on. And the universe is basically saying you're settling. You know, you may have your own fears of commitment, because any woman who keeps chasing after a commitment phobic, after a while the universe is going to say, then you're afraid of commitment. Why are you chasing after a man who doesn't want what you're selling? He's
right.
made it clear he wants it his way. He wants his cake and eat it too. He wants
mm-hmm.
you. He doesn't want you to have anybody else, but he wants to, you know, do what he wants.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have to examine your own fears, and that if you want a man who's ready to commit to you, you have to stop settling for a man who won't commit.
Right. My fear is that I don't know if he's going to
come around?
The right man.
Well, that's fear. And that's mm-hmm. why people settle. People settle for the devil they know when they feel like they can't be alone and any man's better than no man. Until a woman overcomes the feeling of any man, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating, son of a bitch, mediocre,
right.
instead of standing on 2 feet, you're only going to get a mediocre man.
Right.
And it's really believing you're better off with no man than you are with this man who's going to continually
mm-hmm.
hurt you. I mean, again, if you have the kind of personality, I mean, some people don't care. If you didn't mind him having his cake and eat it too, you're getting enough out of this, this is fine.
Then, I mind.
Yeah, okay. Again, if you didn't mind, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fooled around when you felt like it. If that worked for you, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a man, and the problem with this, he doesn't want you to mess around with anybody else.
I know.
He wants you to be the old, you know, women have to stay home and be the good girl while he can go out and screw around.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you are a woman of color, and as a woman of color, God would ask you, can you teach, you know, black men to be better men
mm-hmm.
by boycotting them? I mean, Martin Luther King once channeled through me saying he was a very good man but a very bad boy. He cheated on his wife, and he should have said that all men and all women are created equal, and that women have to boycott men who think they can have their cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as a sisterhood of women, black, white, green, yellow, purple,
mm-hmm.
all of us have to kind of say, you know, we can't do this. It's not kind and it's not fair. And if the woman would stop cheating with him when they know he is somebody else, wouldn't that be nice too?
Right.
But
yeah, because I'm tired, Cindy.
I know, and you're going to be that tired.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that you are a woman who works very hard. Ashanti works very hard. She's a good mother. She's a good human being. But you're sort of settling, you know, almost believing that this is the way men are. But there are actually, you know, loyal, trustworthy men. And, you know, you have to believe in yourself enough
okay.
and give yourself that space. I mean, you're not going to change a sex addict. It's one thing to a man who can be a womanizer, but this guy has sex addiction. Sex addiction is extremely hard to cure. You know, a person has to look at no porn, no masturbation, no drugs, no alcohol, only being with the woman you love. Most sex addicts are not able to do that. And he's not just a womanizer. He has sex addiction. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay, so again, we're
dealing... that's the reason, Cindy, that he told me I can't be with you in a commitment because I like to have sex with other girls.
Right, and the fact that you said okay or you allow that, you know, the new form of narcissism and manipulation is I tell you a little bit of truth and then you got to, like, accept it. No, you don't. He can
right.
tell you he wants other women and you can say, it's fine. It's your choices to be with me and only me. If not, I can't do this.
Right.
So, again, he thinks he's told you, and he thinks you're in agreement with him, and you're condoning it. And it, you might want to examine your own self-esteem issues and why you would think you don't deserve a person who wants to only be with you. And, you know, those are pretty deep-rooted, but the point of it being you keep picking men who are just not able to commit.
Right.
So, you know,
and it has something to do with myself.
It has to do with you maybe having your own fears of commitment. And some of them have to do with, what if I love somebody and they die on me? You have two children?
One.
You have one child you love very much, correct?
Yes.
If anything happened to that child, how crazy would you be?
You're crazy.
Okay, so now that you love that child so much, you might as well open your heart to soulmate love. It scares people. And true committed love brings up unhealed issues. So you may have some unhealed issues that you don't want to surface. And by keeping a relationship with a man who can't commit to you, you may be trying to protect yourself from unhealed issues that need to surface.
Right.
So think about that and think about working at healing your own issues as much as you can.
Okay.
And because... again, I'm not seeing any changes in here because the universe doesn't even believe you're not going to go back with him. You know, your spirit guides are up there, you know, shooting craps and taking, you know, bets up here. Oh, Ashanti will be with him in 2 minutes. Okay, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't any of your spirit guides believing right now that you're strong enough to do it or that you will do it. So, you know, until you do it, you're going to kind of get this level of love.
Okay.
So it's really determined by you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds hard because everybody, you know, likes to play victim and things like that. And I'm not saying because you don't usually do that. That's not you. But if we do play victim or say, you know, I'm a victim of him, he won't change or whatever.
Right.
Children are victims. Children are victims of sexual abuse, violence, and crazy parents. Grown-ups cannot be victims. If you're allowing this, and if you allow it, then... you're staying in victim consciousness, and nothing ever changes as long as we play victim. It's when we take our life and say, I'm nobody's victim. And I've seen it in my own life. I've seen myself whine for years about situations, and nothing ever changed. And it was when I finally stopped blaming everybody for my plight and my life and stopped playing victim and walked away from people who made me feel like a victim that my life changed.
Okay.
So, you know, I believe in you, and
thank
I do
you.
Believe that, you know, your spirit guides will send you someone very good. But, again, it appears that, you know, every 5 years another soulmate can be brought in alignment with us. If you stay another year and a half with him, you know, the soulmate they're bringing into alignment is going to be brought somewhere else. And then you might have to wait another full 5 years, so it might be, you know.
That's too long.
Right, so I'm just saying to scare you a little bit.
Yeah,
they're not going to bring a soulmate in alignment with you so that you could break his heart, so you could cheat on that guy with this guy. Somehow you're feeling like, oh, I got, you know, payback affair, you know what I'm saying? And let me, so until you really break away from him, they're reluctant to bring another soulmate into alignment with you.
Okay.
So, you know, you believe in yourself. You know, you have to show your daughter a better version of love than you're showing her.
Okay.
Because she is dooming her to pick the players, which is never a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I believe in you. The universe is asking you to take your 2 feet out. I mean, he's sure. Now he'll just screw around for 2 or 3 months or a month and, you know, this is good. She broke up with me. I can screw around. I don't have to feel bad. And then 2 months from now I'll be back. So every time you break up with him, you give him a license to cheat on you and do whatever he wants, knowing that in 2 or 3 months he'll walk back into your life. So he never fears losing you.
That's the problem.
Right, because he just knows you'll be there.
Yep, and I'm tired of being there.
Good. And that's what happens when we finally get fed up. I don't know if Nicole has anything to add to that, but you know, she may be screening. But my point is, you know, call in and let us know what happens. We'll be waiting to hear from you.
Okay, Cindy, thank you so much.
You know, I love you.
It.
You're one of my favorite clients.
I love you, too. Thank
okay,
you so
bye,
much.
Bye, my dear.
Bye.
Okay, Nicole.
Hey, Cindy, I'm back. Yeah, I was fading in and out of that conversation.
I know, and it's one of those things. I think I hit her a little hard today, but, you know, the universe is not happy with what this guy's been doing to her for five and a half years. You know what I mean?
Well, I heard, well, first of all, 5.5 years, we all know that everything is given to us, soulmates are given to us in 5-year cycles. So if it's 5.5 years and it's not going that well, chances are the universe is trying to force maybe a little bit of a hand here. Somebody's got to, you know, pardon my French, but shit or get off the pot. You know,
I mean, that expression was coming to my head,
you know, and or walk away and move on to something else at a certain point, you know, and usually around the 5-year mark is it.
And, you know, I'm starting to lose patience with the sex addicts of the world. And you know what I'm saying? It's like I'm a very liberal person. I could care less if you want to sleep with 2 million people.
But you know
stay
what?
In the
I
pool
mean,
of people who want to sleep with 2 million people. Don't pick
a nice girl who
wants him and then screw around on her.
Well, you know what? At a certain point, though, I mean, sex addict or no sex addict, I mean, if you really want to think about it, a lot of people are falling into the category of a sex addict. And you know what? At this point, I don't even think that they're truly, truly sex addicts. I think that people are turning into sex addicts and feeding into that and basically becoming part of that, you know, of I guess, that kind of culture almost because people are just afraid of commitment. They are afraid to get close to anybody. And you know what? It's easier to go and screw around with a lot of nobodies than it is to open yourself up to, you know, to that one true love. You know, I think that people are purposely putting themselves in the category of a sex addict where they're literally self-sabotaging every person that comes near them. This way, they never, ever truly have to grow up, and they never, ever truly have to commit.
Right, and that's why it's one of the hardest addictions to cure, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
And because the roots are deep and, you know, without a lot of therapy and sometimes getting to the root cause of sex addiction.
And a lot of people don't even realize that sex addiction is has very little to do with sex.
Right.
You know, it has to do with the chase. It has to do with, you know, what, you know, with your own feelings. It has to do with coming to terms with who you are. It
has to do with self-destruction.
More than just sex. Absolutely.
Self-destruction.
You know, but I mean, I do feel bad for her. I definitely feel bad for her because, you know what, that's never, ever an easy, you know, thing to be a part of. You know, and sometimes walking away is the hardest thing that you have to do.
And she's just such a good human being, so I hope that
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
She finds the strength to do that.
And hopefully one day she will see herself in the same light that you see her, Cindy, and she will see how good of a person that she is.
She's the most responsible woman
say,
in the world.
And say, you know what, Cindy's right.
And she, you could, you know, if Ashanti gives you her word, she, you know, she'd go to the ends of the earth to do it.
Oh,
and,
I'm sure.
You know. And it's just good people sometimes really are just too good and they don't know when enough is enough. So, you know, until the day I die, I'm going to say enough is enough. And that's my mantra. Enough is enough. And, you know, she has to get to that enough is enough moment. And nobody can tell anybody who's addicted to anything when enough is enough. They're the only people who can finally say, I've had it.
Yep.
So, you know, I think what Ashanti is doing, what a lot of people do is they don't want to hit the rock bottom. You just have to hit. You just got to crash.
Yeah, you know, it might hurt a little bit when you hit that bottom, but you know what? It's definitely worth it when you stand back up.
Right, and you know, you just cry. You spend the night crying, and you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and go forward.
Absolutely.
Now, I see you did Vanessa.
I've been doing a lot of screening, Cindy. Did you see?
Yes, and Vanessa, yes, you've been busy.
I have been very busy. Okay, we are going to go over to Vanessa right now. And Vanessa is from Long Island. And she actually had a reading with you a couple of years ago, Cindy.
Wow.
And since then, so many different transitions have transpired. And recently, she's had a lot going through her head. You know, she's a little bit concerned about work and finances. And, you know, she had a family member pass, you know, only a couple of weeks ago. And she just got out of what she coined, not me. She said that she got out of a bad relationship. And it's a very, very new breakup for her. And she really just wants to see that she's on the right path, that she's making the right decisions, and she just wants a little bit of guidance as to where she's going to go from here.
Oh, that's good. That's good questions.
Oh, absolutely. So let's go over to Vanessa in Long Island. Hello, Vanessa. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Good, Vanessa. So you've had a lot of changes in your life. When is your birthday? What is your birthday, the month, the day, and the year? Because you're getting a lot of new beginning cards, so I'm curious when your birthday is.
It's October 7th, 1984.
Okay, good. Because by time, you know, October starts rolling around, there's a lot of good, strong changes in your life about to occur. Money looks very, very lucrative in the future for you, by the way. So it's you kind of deciding that you're ready to change your life. There's a little bit of budgeting of money needing to be doing. Are you learning to budget money?
Yes. I am.
Okay, and after that, very, very, very lucrative money. You know, you're pretty psychic yourself. Do you know that about yourself?
Yes, I am. I do know that.
Okay, because, you know, every card that's coming up is she's got her own gut instincts, her own psychic abilities. Are they coming stronger? You're a little bit on the young side, so the universe doesn't bring them on as hard yet, but I hope you're listening to your gut.
I'm trying to listen to my gut, but I think I tussle a lot with my gut. Like, I know what I should be doing kind of thing, but I kind of just have that inner conflict usually.
Okay, because you have a little trouble guessing and you know, sort of going forward. You're not in a relationship now, by the way?
No, I just got out of one.
Okay, good, because you need to stand on your own 2 feet a little bit. You know, without a man, kind of like what we were talking about with Ashante, until we sort of can come to that conclusion that we're better off alone than we are in toxic love, we're always going to end up with something very, very toxic.
Okay.
Are you a mom now, or do you want to be a mom? Because I'm getting the mom card here a lot.
Oh, I'm so anxious to be a mom.
Okay.
I won't do it until I'm married, but, you know, I've got quite a few nieces and nephews. I've got like 27 nieces and nephews. It's like a huge family, so I'm always in mommy mode as much as I can be.
Good, because you're definitely going to be a mother, so that's a very, very important thing for you to see. And the card that I got on a man is a very loyal and trustworthy man, and I got, which is the King of Swords, and I got the Queen of Swords for you, that you're a very strong woman. This is your year of strength now. Did you get it out of your system that you can't fix people?
No, and Cindy, oh my goodness, that's exactly what you said to me when I had the reading with you a couple of years ago. You told
me. And you know what, I don't even think I said that as much as I say it now, but
you have no idea, and I went into this relationship, like, I have to remember she told me, I'm not God, I can't fix people. And same thing happened. Tom just fell right back into that situation.
Okay, and that's because you're such an old soul, and older souls are really brainwashed over the millenniums to think it's their job to fix people. Who gave us those feelings? Were the manipulators that needed fixing. Oh, yeah, it's your job to fix me. Yep. And when I screw up, it's because you didn't fix me good enough, Vanessa. So realize that what you didn't learn from the last scumbag, and excuse my French, you're learning from this one.
Uh-huh.
You're not fixing people.
Okay.
You have a grandfather who passed away.
Yes, quite a few years ago, I had grandfather, great-grandfather pass away.
Okay, because this is your grandfather, and he's saying you were always a very good girl. And I don't know why you keep picking such rotten guys. And, you know, if you want to know who helped pop thoughts in your head to get away from this guy and who helped smear your face in the crap you needed to see, it was your grandfather.
Really?
He has no patience for this kind of man. And it's not that that guy didn't love you, because there's a lot of love in these cards, but he's got issues that are not fixable at all.
Oh, yes, I know.
And the person who crossed, who died just a few weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to talk to more recently people who have died, because they've often not crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a sudden death by any chance?
He ended up dying in his sleep. He had cancer and didn't tell anybody that it spread to his bones. And then I went to see him, and then I came back home, and then a couple of days later I got the call that he passed, so I had to go back, you know. So
well, because what happens is people who die in the sleep or die on morphine or, you know, pretty suddenly, like he died in his sleep, have trouble crossing over. He hasn't crossed over yet. I don't think he knew he died. It's hard to talk. He's a little frightened, by the way, and I don't really like to talk to people who haven't crossed over because they're still too human. But sometimes people just don't realize they've died. And
okay.
He's at that stage right now. You know, dying in your sleep is like, how would you know it's any different than dreaming?
Mm-hmm.
So as far as he's been concerned, he feels like he's in a dream. He was a little bit in denial that he was dying, by the way. I mean, he knew he had cancer, but he just was a little bit in practicing denial. He didn't get many treatments or anything.
You know what? It was such like a secret that he kept from the family, so we're all kind of finding out things now. I think he was on medication at some point, but I don't think, you know, as far as like chemo and radiation.
No, he didn't. From what he's saying, he didn't want any treatments.
Yes.
I mean, now he's pretty much aware he's dead because he's hearing me tell him he's dead. I mean, you know, it's a little scary because there's a poltergeist in my house, and it's different than a spirit. I mean, he's not scaring me by any means. The only reason they scare me is because they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
Picture, the best way to describe what it is to be a poltergeist or someone who hasn't crossed over, by the way, is we've all had dreams. Sometimes when you take a nap in the middle of the day and you have, you know, dreams are always a little bizarre. You know, you're talking to people, they're not listening to you. You know, you're trying to get people to pay attention. And then after a while, we get really scared in that dream and we want to wake up, but we can't wake up. And
mm-hmm.
we keep saying, I got to wake up, I got to wake up, but you can't. And when you finally wake up, you go, oh, my God, I'm awake. What it feels like to be a poltergeist is to be stuck in that dream in which you know you're dreaming or you think you're dreaming, but you want to wake up and you can't. That's a poltergeist dream, what it is. Most of us have had at least one lifetime where we didn't cross over.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little uneasy and unsettled because there's a lot of things that he didn't take care of that he should have. So
okay. That's,
financially and otherwise. So
mm-hmm. That's
one of the reasons why he's agitated.
Mm-hmm.
And basically my best advice to him is to cross over. His mom is gone, by the way.
Yes.
Because it seems to be her coming for him. Wanting him to cross over. She'll take him over. She's thanking me, by the way. Did you know her? Because she likes you a lot.
No, I didn't, actually. It was actually my great-uncle. It was my grandmother's brother. So I, you know, haven't met his mother or anybody yet. They were all
Well she likes
before.
You. She's winking at you because they've been chasing after him for a few days now. So, and he's been like, but I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. So it's kind of like, she's going to cross him over, and then he'll be much easier to talk to. But he has some financial stuff that needs taken care of. Who's taking care of his estate, you know?
I believe my grandmother should be doing that, between my grandmother and my father.
Right. So, you know, he needs that to be settled.
Okay.
He has to cross over. But again, do not think, and he's, you know, it's funny because his mother's yanking him already, and I'm kind of laughing. It's kind of, he's got one more thing to say. He was probably a very funny man on Earth, because now that he realizes he's dead, he's pretty funny. But he's, you know, basically saying that, you know, he didn't not fight because, you know, he didn't want to live. He just accepted that, you know, even though he was a little in denial that he was going to die, he knew the treatments weren't going to help. So, you know, sometimes people just get an inner knowing that they'll probably live longer and die better without treatments. that seemed to be the guidance that he got. So I always try to get my clients to realize that when people know they have terminal cancer, and they usually know it because someone from above has told them, don't do treatments, it's not that they don't want to live. It's that they don't want to die a brutal death.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people who have died of cancers in the last few years are very angry. You know, they didn't profit from that treatment. The doctors did.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, he's a person who's glad he didn't do that. You know, he sort of did things his way, by the way. It was his way
way.
Very okay, because he still won't cross over with the mother. So she's saying, it's his way or no way. So I'm kind of laughing that it was his way, but it was the right way. Because dying naturally of cancers, by the way, isn't very painful. It's much, you know, you take some morphine, you take some pain pills. But dying from excess of radiation and chemo is like dying with a nuclear bomb inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, going to cross over. You know, he's thanking you for all you did. But, again, you have to concentrate on you picking better men.
Okay.
And this is your year, by the way.
Okay.
So, you know, you've learned a lot. You're not texting or talking. You're not doing what your generation does, the booty calls, texting, talking. Did you, like, totally cut it off?
Yes.
Okay.
Totally.
Because your relationship, you know, your generation tends to have one foot in the past, one foot forward. They don't seem to know 2 feet out. So, you know, a little bit standing on your own 2 feet. Money looks good. At work, are you happy with what you're doing?
Yes, I like the feel. I'm in the natural alternative healthcare field, and I just, I don't know if I want to stay at the place that I'm currently at.
Okay, now, if you can imagine, you know, your great uncle talking about how he didn't want those horrible treatments, you would understand that being in the field that you're in. And you're going to make very, very good money. You're supposed to work for yourself eventually. Do you work now for yourself?
No, I work for someone, but I'm actually trying to get into medical school so I can work for myself.
Good, because you're going to be in the future working for yourself. The job looks very stable. Your finances are not what worries me here. It's more, you know, you have to do your healing when you're at work. Being that healing, you know, modality when you're at work, but stop it in your private life. We're not here to fix everybody, heal everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got like the stray cat syndrome. You know, every stray cat lands on your door and you feed it and it never leaves. You know, and, you know, after a while you got to get enough of the stray cats.
Nope, I totally understand.
And, you know, my mission is really to educate people that stop listening to people whining that can't find work, their daddy did this, their mommy did this. Knock it off. You're old enough that everybody's going to knock it off what their mommies and daddies did. Just knock it off and grow up, heal your nonsense, you know, work, take responsibility for your behaviors. Be a little less tolerant for everybody telling you it's not their fault.
Okay. That makes sense.
And very, very good things here. Work on your own psychic abilities, by the way.
Okay.
You know,
I
thank you
will.
For calling in. And it's so funny. You know, what you didn't learn from the last relationship, I think the universe reinforced in this one.
Yes.
Okay. So we're expecting you now to get your soulmate who's already healed, one that doesn't need fixing.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Now, all right. You ready, Cindy?
For Laura.
We are moving on. Now we're going to speak to Laura, and Laura is also in Long Island. And she has also called the show before, ironically enough.
Good.
And basically, you know, she's just had a bad marriage. You know, the bad marriage was what she actually spoke to us about last time she was on. Well, good news is that she just left.
Wow, hooray, 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 happy days are here again.
That's exactly what I said. I said, good for you. And, you know, and now basically, now that she's made this humongous step towards getting a better future for herself, and getting a happier future for herself. She wants to just, you know, clear up her path a little bit, Cindy. She wants to know if she's on the right path, you know, and now, of course, the, you know, the questions that, that are burning are, will she meet somebody else, and when will that person come along, and, you know, how much healing really needs to be done before she's going to be allowed to have that true happiness. So maybe you'll be able to enlighten Laura for us.
Hi, Laura.
Hello.
You're on the
air.
And wonderful, and you had a lot, took a lot of courage to do. The difference between you and Ashanti is that you've been long time wanting to leave your husband, but you know, you already psychologically divorced him quite some time ago. So
right.
Now you're just standing on your own two feet, and there should be a little relief. So you're having to wait isn't that long off into the future because you're pretty much ready. You know, you've a little bit, try not to worry about money here, you know, because I know that's a big fear here in your cards. But God does reward women who stop running a prostitute archetype, which means we don't stay with a man for money. And that doesn't even mean, even if we were the ones making the most money, somehow we believe, you know, any man's better than no man. So God will reward you with money. So, you know, just know that that's not a problem here. You also have to not listen to the too many negative people around you saying, oh, but there's no good men. There's no, don't
that even. That is so true.
Because
so
if you
true.
Listen to that, then God says, okay, if you think all men suck, then I'm going to keep bringing you sucky men until one day you said, I have enough of that. And then God will bring you a good man. We don't want to talk negatively about men. I mean, that's why I have Nicole on my show. She's a lesbian. She can tell us plenty about women, what they're doing wrong, too. Not her, Lisa. She's got a wonderful woman now. But I'm saying it's really not a
gender. I like how you say that, Cindy. I have a wonderful woman now.
Right. So, I mean, we're not talking about Lisa at all. But you know, it's funny because I wrote that thing about, you know, seven signs your relationship's in trouble, you know, like little minor signs. And my husband came up and said, did you write this about me? Because like four of them sound like it could be me. And I'm like, no, I didn't write it about you. So now he always says, am I doing number four? Am I? But with Laura, you're going to have to get a little bit more positive friends near you. You know, now that you've let go of your ex, maybe you're going to let go of some of the negative people near you.
Mm-hmm.
Who
a lot of my family.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're not, I guess they felt, I guess in shock, basically. They didn't really know, and they're not happy with me leaving. They think I didn't try, and
okay,
no matter how much I tell them, they just always seem to be on his side, and I always did wrong. And
okay, because that's the thing that Jesus was addressing when he walked the planet, that, you know, you made your bed, lying isn't something that God said. It's something that the shithead men made up, that women have to stay with me no matter what I do. You sign up for the prince, now I'm the beast, suffer the rest of your life. And that even if a woman tried to leave her husband, no matter what he did, molest her children, beat them, beat her, the family would say, you're owned by, you know, your father would say, I own you, go back. I could have done that to you, go home. And your mother would say, go home. Nobody wants you to start the revolution, because anybody who leaves a long-term marriage causes a revolution, because that makes it all the other people who are playing victim, they can't leave, they made their bed, lie in it, start examining their own lives. So nobody wants you to start the revolution. And when people ask you, you know, why you've left your husband, you know, when I divorced my husband after 29 years, I only said to people, when the people ask, tell us what happened, I would say, am I a good person? And people say, yeah, sure. And I say, well, then I must have my reasons. That's all I said. I never...
I'm going to use that.
You know, I asked them a question, and I pretty much said, it's none of your business. But you just say, you know, am I a good person? I must have my reasons. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And with your family, because I got the card that is a very dogma and listening to what other people have to say above your heart. And I want you to love yourself the way you would love your own daughter. If your daughter were stuck in that marriage that was bad, would you tell her to stay?
No.
Or would you love her enough to support her? But
yeah.
Know that you're going to have to relive the women's liberation movement in your own lifetime. Because what kept women stuck were other women who didn't want you to start a revolution, were fathers who stuck with the boys' club that didn't love their daughters enough to say, no, he's not good to you, come home, or you know what. So realize that Yeah, unfortunately, you know, if you don't move on or if you stayed stuck, when your parents die, they're going to have to listen to God reaming them that you made your daughter stay in misery. And talking to dead people has taught me a lot. The, you know, the Italian men that taught their daughters, you know, you stay no matter what. And then they realize that this man's been cheating on her. It could bring her disease. He's an awful guy. They come from the grave to say they're wrong. So, you know, realize that you're not changing your family. They're trying to, you know, feel like, you know, in your cement there might be a little crack that they can, like, push their weeds through and make you go back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, realize that you're going to have to be a grown-up and stop being feeling like a little girl,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a bad little girl, no less.
Mm-hmm.
Once, you know, you're really clear in your mindset, and you can tell them, my marriage and my ending of it is, you know, is a boundary issue. I don't want your opinion.
Right.
So
we
could agree to disagree on this.
Yeah. Right, and I have, because I'm happy with my decision, and that's all that really matters, that I'm happy. And I feel like I should get the support, you know, from them.
And again, you're trying to change manipulative, judgmental people who are not fixable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, you're not changing them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I divorced my husband, my mother never even spoke to me about it. Not one word. Not one word. And my father, the Italian, was saying, you know, was on my husband's side and tried to sabotage it every inch of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, I stayed way too long married because of my parents and because sometimes, you know, a lot of people won't divorce their mates until their parents are dead. But, you know, people live into 90. What are you going to be, you know, 75 yourself? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
So, you know, the wait until parents die is like something that people have done. But
right.
Just know that, you know, you're a person who's going to have a soulmate love that will be a beacon of light for the world to see. You have a grandfather who died. Do you remember him?
Yes, very much.
Because he loves you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on your side.
Okay.
So, you know that he's on your side. You have a very good 5-year period opening up. Anything you want is yours.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's the first time in your life that, you know, Laura's ever done anything that wasn't good in her parents' eyes. So, and you're realizing that people love us very conditionally, by the way. We do what they want. Suddenly they're going to...
Mm-hmm.
My father used to threaten me he's going to cut me out of the inheritance, he's going to do this. I'm like, really? I've never done anything for money in my life. Do what you got to do. Knock yourself out. I mean, I finally got so I couldn't care less.
Right.
And, you know, it took me, my dad was 89, and I finally said to God, you know, you keep telling me, you know, you'll yank this man away from me when I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of him. Get him out of here already.
Right.
He was dead about a month later, you know. And the point of it is he harassed me and thought he owned me. And it was one of those things that certain people, that's the way they are. It's wrong. But I wasn't going to change my father. And maybe you need to accept you're not changing these people.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard because you have your Jesus moment. You're on a crucifix. You're alone. You have no army backing you here.
Right. Right.
And that's the Jesus moment. You're on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you'll get soulmate friends and a soulmate lover and people who are more like-minded and know that, you know, you may be the one who finds it that you can't forgive your family. So, you know, they're going to see when you get strong enough, you know, that you don't really care about their opinion.
Right.
And your husband is the one who's going to keep telling them all kinds of stuff about you and make it like you're wrong and you have no patience and you didn't, you know, whatever. And because you're an old soul, you didn't badmouth him enough all along. So nobody really knows, you know, all the things that he's done.
Right.
And again, it's none of their business. Again, it's none of their business. And nothing works like saying what I told you to say. Am I a good person? I must have my reasons. Nobody ever asked me another question after that, by the way.
Right.
Nobody. Not one person out of 100 that I said that to asked me to explain. So,
I'm going to use it.
And it shuts them off. They go, huh? Yeah, it's none of your business. And just be a little bit strong. You're on the right path. You have the best cards of anyone I have looked at in a long time.
Good.
So it means money will be there in the future. You know, sometimes we have to give up a home. We have to give up a lot when we get divorced. You know,
right.
I bought my freedom. It was the best money I ever spent. It was a financial
mm-hmm.
bloodbath. I have more than recouped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try to tell people. And, you know, if you stay with some person because of money or afraid of dividing your money or losing your house, I'll tell people the next hurricane, God's going to nuke that house. Believe me.
Right.
If you're staying with a man for that house, you watch it go floating down the block in a block where nobody else's house is injured. It's nowhere near a flood zone, but your house is in the Atlantic. So realize that you're doing what's right. I know how hard this was for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
right.
once in a while you're going to, you know, have those moments where you're going to be dreaming about him because, you know, the relationship will go on for some time, unresolved issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I dreamt about my husband almost every night for a year after the divorce.
Wow.
And it was a long time coming, but there's unresolved issues. There is cords of enmeshment that you have to cut one at a time. You know, you might have cut 500, but there's still another 200.
Mm-hmm.
So each day is just cutting a cord and breaking away.
Right.
But when holidays come, you know, like that's when we tend to, like, get really sad, you know, Christmas.
Right.
People say, I really miss my marriage. No, you don't. You miss the illusion of a happy family. Go back and remember what last Christmas was like. It was like hell. So
right.
don't rewrite history as
okay.
far as that goes. And, you know that you're really starting to see who people are because – nobody has a right to tell somebody who to marry, how to stay married, what avocation, vocation, how to worship God. Those are overstepping boundaries as a parent, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your family is overstepping boundaries.
Right. Right.
And just know that you're going to feel a little bit lonely,
mm-hmm.
but maybe, you know, the reason you stayed married so long was because you didn't want this earthquake it's causing.
Right.
But you,
I feel like I'm strong enough, though, that I'm willing to deal with it.
Right. And
you know?
And just know it's a very hard thing. A divorce is an earthquake financially, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come easily. But there's no place to be worse to be than in a marriage you don't know whether you want to stay or go. You did that for a long time. That is the
right.
worst place. Because
mm-hmm.
it feels hopeless. There's no hope.
Right.
You're in a place where you've opened up hope
mm-hmm.
and you've opened up that your life can change for the better on a dime
mm-hmm.
and the universe can bring that.
You see somebody, you said, right away for me or?
Sooner than later. Do you know what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
a little bit how
right.
to be brought into alignment, but it's not like you got to wait, you know, 5 years or, you know, even
right, right.
more than a year. It looks, you know, very promising very soon. But again, if it's brought too soon, it could be a transition soulmate, one who is going to teach you the lessons that you really didn't fully learn from your husband. So I would advise you to try to learn what you could have done better in that relationship, how you tolerated things,
mm-hmm.
how you can't fix people. Learn the lessons so that God doesn't have to bring you that transition guy that's
right.
a lot like your husband, only on the surface doesn't appear to be like.
Right. Well, I did meet somebody and he seems like just so perfect. I don't know, it's like just seems so soon, you know.
Well, again, I mean, I did see someone very close in these cards. He could be the
mm-hmm.
transition man, though. Sometimes, because the universe is afraid you may go back with your husband because of what your family's
mm-hmm.
doing, because you still believe any man's better than no man,
mm-hmm.
they brought this man probably sooner than they should have.
Mm-hmm.
To get, walk you to the path of love rather than fear back to your husband.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those men can have clay feet. They may not be able to really be able to commit. I'm not saying he is, but I'm just saying
mm-hmm.
it's a possibility here.
Right.
So, you know, just know that he was brought, if he is the one you're supposed to be with, he's definitely brought a little sooner than they would have brought. But again,
mm-hmm.
as I was saying to you, you've psychologically divorced him so much already. So
mm-hmm.
it's very possible they're just bringing him just to make sure you don't go back because your family's pressuring you to go back.
Right.
So maybe they would have waited a year, but because your family's being so unrelenting,
mm-hmm.
you know, you would only go back to your husband out of fear of what people will say and what your family will do and will they cut you out of their life and will they
mm-hmm.
abandon you.
Yeah.
Well, now you're walking toward the love, and if your parents like it or lump it, you rather have this man than a family you barely like right now. So
right.
the universe is bringing you toward that. Again, going with eyes wide open,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, he looks like a very loving man, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and hardworking. Is he a hardworking guy? Because this guy's a very hardworking guy in the picture.
Yes.
Okay,
pretty much everything. He's not like my ex at all.
Good. And, again, just know that there is still that standing on your own 2 feet a little bit.
Right. Right.
And
that's why I was just wondering. And just
I'm sure he was brought, probably they wanted to bring him a year from now, but the point is, look, you might have gone back with your husband. God's like, holy
mm-hmm.
crap, I got to bring this before they pressure her back to her husband. That's family. They're supposed to be supporting her. God damn it. All right, we'll bring him sooner. The universe does help good people. And
it seems like a soulmate. We always joke that we're in each other's minds, like we're so much alike. And
good, and,
so
and now know that this is to make you not second guess that you're doing the wrong thing.
Right.
So, you know, believe in that this is meant for you to not second guess and to believe in yourself very, very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just seeing such terrific things for you. And I'm not seeing any red flags on him, okay?
Okay.
So, again, your family's going to go do this, and your husband's going to say this. She left me for another man. She couldn't have met him that fast. She must have had him all along. So are you letting anybody know about this guy, or are you keeping it a little quiet?
No, it's quiet.
Good, because I would advise you to do that,
because
everybody's going to...
Yeah, because
they're
of
all
that reason,
whisper.
I don't want them to think... Right.
Okay, and I don't want your husband to then play victim and say, see, she left me for another man. Because
right.
he has to know, no, she left you because you were a son of a bitch. So, you know, try to realize that keeping it quiet is not being deceptive. It's just that everybody will just make more trouble than you need right now.
Right.
And, you know, everybody's looking because most women will never leave unless there's another man there. So they're all waiting to see.
Right.
So, you know,
my mother says it all the time. I'm waiting for the ball to drop, she says to me. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right, she's waiting. They really think, they don't realize that God is doing this to help you because you're with a family who believes any man is better than no man.
Mm-hmm.
That's so deep in your consciousness that they brought him sooner than they probably should have. I know how God works. God kind of... You know, they roll with the punches up there. They do what they have to do. They bring things sooner or later. I'll hear the voice of spirit guide saying, I don't know, should we bring him now? Wait a week? Wait a year? I'll go bring it now. So, again, this was your good karma to get this now, but it's really to help you to break away from your husband. And you might, don't be surprised, you may have to walk away from your family for a while if they make your life too hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes people have to realize they don't own us.
Right.
And, you know, that was the final lesson from my own father. I said, you have no right to be asking me the questions you're asking me. And really, I happen to be tired today. I'm really tired, and I'm going to say things I don't want to say. But I'm not speaking to you anymore. So I'm just hanging up. And for, like, weeks, he didn't speak to me. And then he called me up. And my spirit guide said, oh, your mother's crying because they're old. Who's going to take care of them? Nobody's around. So your father's going to tell you stuff he doesn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, so he started acting nice. And then, you know, he said, your mom's been crying. So I realized, you know, they didn't want me out of their life. So, you know, sometimes we need to be able to say we're going to walk away from these people so they sort of get out of our face. Because, you know, and again, your ex is looking around to find out what's going on, so just be a little discreet.
Okay.
Don't give him that satisfaction.
Right. Yeah,
well,
he's
good.
Still holding on, boy.
Well, he thinks he owns you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's, you know, there, he's just waiting for you to, you know, to get hurt a lot out there and figure you'll come running home.
Right.
Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show, and Nicole, good luck to you, Laura, and call in again and let us know how everything's going. And we really see how you're getting rewarded. Hooray!
Okay, thank you so much.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, Nicole, can you see how family sabotage people?
Yes, I can.
Oh boy! And again, I'm so glad that she had the courage to leave. And
Absolutely.
Don't you feel glad that we helped her?
Yes. Absolutely, we do.
I love to hear people changing and moving their life forward. The clients that I won't even read anymore, ones I've had for 10 years and they're still stuck in their miserable relationships. I'm like,
yeah.
I can't read you anymore. Really, I can't.
Well, you know what? Well, it's kind of like beating a dead horse, or it's you know, like the age-old definition of insanity, which is, you know, keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, you know. Some people, you know, will jump around from, you know, a life coach to, you know, a psychic to a psychic life coach to any, you know, to a therapist, to
anybody
anyone
will listen.
That will listen, hoping to hear something different. And when everybody has the same thing to say about it, you know, they move on to the next person. You know, it's like prescription medication. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like people jump around from doctor to doctor to get the scripts that they want, you know, because the one doctor won't give them everything that they need. It's the same premise. They just keep going to get whatever they're looking for. You know, and meanwhile, half the time what they are looking for, it's all really inside of them if they just let it out.
Exactly.
You know, and if they just have the courage to do what they need to do. So, unfortunately, Cindy, Annie in the Bay Area was, you know, on hold for quite some time, and, you know, she wanted to get a reading from you. So we're just going to advise Annie, since, unfortunately, we didn't make it, you know, to her call, you know, that if she pleases, just pops you over an email, you guys can work it out, and then she can be on next week.
Well, what I'm going to do is write down Annie's number, the 510 number,
excellent.
And I'll
yes,
put it right on my list, and we'll put you
excellent.
Through the very, very, very first caller. Okay.
Excellent.
So, and I hope some of your questions got a little answered listening to the show anyway.
Yeah.
And yes, you will be the first one on air.
All right, wonderful. And Cindy, as always, you did a great job. Thank you to all of our callers, and we will talk next week.
Okay, bye, everybody. Happy spring.